Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And this time, the computer will not need to update and restart when we're recording.
At least we were only like a minute in.
Yeah. So we're inside today. It is humid as heck outside. We were outside trying to do some weeding.
The temperature wasn't that bad.
No. And we got one little shower that came over and we're like, this is okay. Like, it's not bad. Then we bug sprayed up because then the bugs came out.
And immediately after, it started pouring.
Yes. And like, it started as a decent sprinkle. And yeah. I'm like, okay, we'll get a little wet, but it's a passing shower. And then it was a downpour. And I was seated underneath one of the wild plum trees. And I was getting soaked even under there. So I was like, I'm running inside.
And I lasted 2 or 3 minutes more. I'm like, I can weed this lettuce bed that has very few lettuces and so much clover. It is underneath one of the plum trees. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, you won't.
Both of us were drenched, like dripping wet when we got inside.
Yeah. You take your shirt and shorts off and it makes those very heavy plunk sounds.
Yeah.
So that's how damp we got.
And that's how laundry is in the dryer right now.
That's good.
Yeah. So.
But there's so many weeds. It was so hot and humid last weekend.
Yep.
The heat index was over 100 and some.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this weekend will be great. We can weed. We need to. I mean, and we really do need
to.
But it's just rough.
I freed up 2 tomato beds and then part of a bean bed before I had to run.
And I did the basil bed and most of the parsley bed.
Mm.
And a little bit of that lettuce bed, but
yeah,
that one is few and far between.
Yeah.
I think the stuff in that final tray of plants
can probably all just go in there.
There's plenty of room.
Yeah.
There'll be some fennel, hopefully, some marigolds.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the lovage came up.
Oh, that's a tough one. We've tried it.
Yeah.
We've never harvested anything from it.
I think you had some and they were leggy. And then once they went outside, they just collapsed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's our garden adventure.
Yeah. That's pretty much what Saturday has been, aside from just chilling.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully we can get out later, too.
Oh, I'm not holding out hope.
I mean, it did rain, even though it was very sunny.
Yeah, it's gross feeling. Like, it's going to be instant sweat.
So maybe tomorrow before I go home.
Yeah, tomorrow is probably our better bet.
Yeah.
For getting some weeding done.
Because we need to do the beds. You want to do the strip garden.
Yeah.
I want to do some buckthorn pulling.
Yeah.
Before they start propagating more.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
We saw a woodchuck outside.
Yes. And I think it lives at the neighbor's, which is great.
The wild bun was just a few feet from it and seemed to not care. They were both eating clover.
Yes.
And then 3 feet from the rabbit was a squirrel. So it was just a whole happy small mammal situation.
It was. And the local rabbit does not care if we go outside.
Yeah.
Or walk, like, on the driveway or something like that. It just goes about its business.
Yeah. I think I came here once and, like, parked and started moving stuff inside and it didn't care.
No.
There,
and we think that maybe it lives in our front garden
under one of the piles of brush that we need to burn. So
there, or it could
in the hole in the front garden.
Yes.
Yeah. It might have a nest under the brush pile though.
Yeah.
So that's why when we go to burn it, we're going to just like pick up the whole thing and move it.
Yeah.
Bit by bit to make sure that there are no kits or other furry little things.
Yeah.
Living in there. But there's also so much brush we have to get rid of.
Yeah. And the drenching rains do not help.
No.
Because everything would just smolder and not burn.
Well, except for the yew branches and the Christmas tree.
Maybe.
Those would go up pretty quick.
Yeah. But there's still residual moisture. Like you have to get that fire going.
But not as much as it would like the other stuff that we tried.
Right.
That went nowhere. So, yeah.
Yeah. And we didn't have an episode last weekend because we were at your family's reunion.
Yeah.
In Iowa.
Hopefully you had fun.
We went to a local comic store. They had a pride sign. You're like, I love this pride sign. And then the clerk just
stared
at us and like took our money and we're like, okay, bye.
It was very strange.
I'm not going to call out what store it is. We've been there before. I don't know what the reaction was because he's also very socially awkward. So I don't know if he just didn't know how to respond to that.
Did he think that we were being sarcastic?
Maybe. I don't know. It was very, I was like, okay, it's time to go.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. And yeah, I've been preparing for the Uncanny Experience. By the time this airs, the Uncanny Experience is like 2 days away. Unofficially 2 days away because we host a social Friday night.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're co-hosting with Sarah Century's Best Issue Ever podcast.
Chad from Grey Malkin Lane.
Ex-wife and Homo Superior. So five podcasts combining.
And maybe special guest Godfrey of the Clone Conspiracy?
He should be there.
Was he at the Omega thing?
We started early enough so people can come and then go to the Omega thing. That's why it starts at 5 p.m.
Great planning.
Yep. Because we didn't do that the first year, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe Demanda will be able to swing by.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. So.
Frequent guest on all the podcasts.
That's true. And.
Very in demand.
And to me, my ex tweets her own series on Instagram.
Yes. The Firestar episode, the latest one, was very fun.
Yes. So it's going to be a very packed weekend. I have my book launch on Saturday. We have an X-Factor panel, a retrospective on Peter David's X-Factor on Sunday. So giving tribute to him and the hundreds of issues that he wrote of X-Factor through the years. And it should be a good time. We're just preparing questions for it now. You're handling questions from the all-new, all-different X-Factor.
Yeah.
There was like 12 issues. I'm doing 90s X-Factor and then combining forces on X-Factor Investigations.
Yeah. It should be a good time.
It should be. It's going to go quick. I'm glad that I have Friday and Monday off. You have Thursday, Friday and Monday off. So.
Yes. Trying to get some extra stuff done.
Yeah.
Drive around.
Yes.
Collecting stuff. So I believe the family trash cans will make an appearance in the Morlock Tunnel.
Oh, again.
Again. Yes. So,
and we have Buffy on in the background, and it's the Xander in a swimming speedo episode
when they tried to make him a thing.
Yes.
And they don't have the blub blubs anymore in the intro.
I know. Disappointing.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a Buffy podcast that has covered the lack of blub blubs.
Probably like, not.
That bubbling cauldron. Every intro from any show is made better by a bubbling cauldron.
That's true. So what are you looking forward to most at Uncanny?
To see our friends. Mm. Like I'm excited for some of the names that are there. Like Gail Simone seemed awesome last year. So yeah. I'm glad that she's back. Benjamin Percy.
Mm-hmm.
I liked X-Force a lot.
Mm. I have to dig out stuff for them to sign.
Oh yeah. I just put all my comics away.
I know. And I'm like, I haven't. So it's like giant piles of quote unquote current comics from like the past 3 years that have not been sorted.
Oh, you haven't sorted them yet?
No.
Oh, no.
I've been a little busy writing a 512-page book about Alpha Flight.
That was a choice. So, yeah, that's a lot to go through.
Yes.
But I got all that stuff put away. That felt good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just excited to see folks and hang out and sort of take in the ambiance and the overall joy that everyone seems to get out of the Uncanny Experience. Like people just seem to rave about it. Like they found their spot, their people.
Yeah.
It's super comfortable environment for a lot of folks. So it's a lot of fun.
I'm excited for all the programming that will happen as the programming director, just seeing it all roll out should be fun. I'm glad that it's happening and I won't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of programming. We crammed so much programming in this year.
That's good.
Yeah, we activated more spaces. There are more places for people to go. X-Factor, our panel is up against the cosplay contest.
Oh.
Which is fine because that room has a capacity. That's the great thing. It's like, even if the lecture hall is full, there are still tons of people to come to a program.
Yeah.
So.
And it's good to have a wide variety of programs. It's not everyone trying to go into one in particular.
Yeah.
And folks can sort of like divide and conquer.
Yes, like cosplay is great for me, but I wouldn't necessarily go to a contest because I just like seeing everyone walk around in it.
Yes.
Like I don't need to name a winner. It's all great.
It is. I appreciate that when everyone just sort of stops everyone else in the hallway and be like, can I get a picture? Oh my gosh, that looks so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are planning our cosplays. I'm doing cosplay light, I guess. Like, we need to figure out my Hellfire thing. We need to troubleshoot something after we record
Oh,
for that.
and do
But
some assembly.
yes. But I think I'm putting on the spandex for a little bit on Saturday. Like the Minneapolis Club, I really hope they have good air conditioning because otherwise you're going to have like hundreds of nerds just baking in spandex.
It's true. That's why I'm doing just Iceman and then just the Madrox Bro Tank, like.
Yeah. Like I'm bringing my brand new Alpha Flight thing. I have their 90s uniform I got made into an outfit.
Nice.
So I'm doing that for the book launch probably. But otherwise, I mean, I have Alpha Flight t-shirts that
It
I can wear. I have to live my brand that weekend because
is true.
I have copies to sell people. So if you're coming to the Uncanny Experience and you don't have a copy, please buy one from me.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I ordered a few more just to have on hand for like Uncanny. Going to bring some to FlameCon. I'll have some at local shows.
Yeah.
So hopefully I can sell out of all of them so I just don't have a box of books.
We don't need that.
No.
Not when there's work that has to be done in your basement.
Yes. All right. So we're here to talk about Star Trek Voyager issues 9 through 11. I had to be judicious in how I planned out these issues. We do end in a cliffhanger because the next set of issues, there are three of them, and then it's the end of the series, and then we have a four-issue miniseries that makes sense to read and review all together. So I'm
Oh,
like,
that's not Telepathy War?
no.
Oh.
So it's like, we can't do 4 issues, 2 issues, 4 issues. That seemed unbalanced to me.
Oh.
So I was like, we'll just do 3, 3, 4, and then we'll be done with Voyager. And then I think it's finally time for Telepathy War.
I think so. It's been a
And
long road getting
yeah.
from here to there.
And even after we do Telepathy War, there's more Marvel Star Trek.
What?
Yeah. There's the whole like prequel series that's set in like the Strange New Worlds time with Captain Pike.
Oh,
There is,
before Strange New Worlds, the show.
yep. And there is, oh no. Untold Voyage.
Not Year Five, that was IDW.
There's one other one that is the original series cast, and it's 5 issues.
Oh, okay.
I had Keith Williams sign all 5 issues because he did inks
Oh, fun.
on those. But that, and I think that will wrap it up, except for the random onesie twosies. So then we're going to have there's a whatchamacallit, thinking of the title of the movie, not Generations, the one after
Search for
First
Spock.
Contact.
Oh.
There's a First Contact adaptation to read.
Oh, the
There,
movie ones, yeah.
there's only that one from Marvel. There is a Borg one, like Assimilation something or other. There's
Huh.
Star Trek X-Men 1 and 2.
Yes.
So there will be random ones. So we're getting near the end of Marvel Star Trek.
Yeah.
And then what are we gonna do?
We will come up with a plan.
We'll figure out something. I've been reading in my spare time all the DC Star Treks.
Yeah. We don't have to be tied to just Marvel, right?
No, we can do whatever we want. I got through the first volume in like 2 weeks, and I'm in the second volume. So,
Yeah, did not take you long at all.
no, interesting. I have so many thoughts. Again, as I'm reading through them, I'm like, ooh. And in the letters pages, they'll announce, like, this writer's coming on board. And then 2 months later, oh, that writer got busy. So
Just kidding.
they did like 1.5 issues. And then someone else came in to finish out that second issue.
Oh no.
Yeah. The I will say that so far, the second volume has a much more cohesive vision of what they're doing.
That's when Peter David was writing?
Yes. So that's
and Gordon Purcell?
Not yet Pencil? Where I am, but he will.
But he was guesting pencils.
He was. He did a couple issues in the first volume near the end of it with Peter David. All right. So issue 9. We have B'Elanna on the cover.
Yeah, we do.
And there's a promise of a guide to Star Trek.
And I think it's the extra foldy outy flap.
I know, because the there's no big guide anywhere. Like, no. I was expecting, like, you know how they had the terms in one of the books?
Like the
glossary sort of thing?
Yeah, but not the Klingon one? Just right. The regular one?
Just the regular one. Like, they've done that before in a different title. So yeah. I was expecting something like that, and it's not. This is just the fold-out page where it's like, this is what Voyager is.
Yeah.
We've seen these before.
I mean, it definitely makes reference to the Tom Paris going to Warp 10 and turning into a lizard.
But
that has been kicked out of canon because it's so bad.
Has it been kicked out of canon?
I thought that's the one that's not canon.
No.
What's the Voyager one that's not canon then?
Everything's canon in Voyager.
I feel like the lizards got kicked out.
I don't think they did because they were referenced in Lower Decks, which is also canon.
Yes, but... There's also a reference in Harry Kim's blurb that he actually died and was replaced by a quantum duplicate formed when the USS Voyager had encountered a spatial anomaly. And he continues to serve as ops. So there's the previously on page. And now we get into Dead Zone, which they have a guest inker, they have a guest penciler. But the same old colorist, Matt Webb, the same old letterer, Chris Eliopoulos. We should say that Al Milgram is the guest inker and Terry Pallett is the guest penciler. And even guest writers, Abnett and Edgington. But Chip Carter is the same old thing he does. Tim Tui is the same old editor and Bob Harris is just old.
So this is the last of that before we get back to some Sutton writing.
Yeah. So we have beautiful title page. Voyager is looking great. There's a gigantic red giant. There's also a blue giant off in the distance. The space is cool. And they're like, we heard a distress signal. What's going on? There's a lot of interference because stars are going to star.
Yes.
And so Janeway is like, let's go in. We have to help them. We can't not. So something happens. I love this. Whoop in the middle of a page. So Paris and Janeway clearly like the ship is being shaken, but then Chakotay is just like falling over backwards over a railing. Yeah.
Which I mean, in retrospect, now that we know who Robert Beltran sort of is as a person, maybe deserved.
And we find out that there's an alien who is trapped in this dead null void between the two stars. Something about that location.
And he's like, we were putting out buoys, but oh no.
Oh no, we fell in.
Yep.
Which I guess happens. You have to figure out where the border is somewhere.
Sure, and yeah.
So Voyager mistook the buoys as a distress call, or the professor legit had a distress call.
So they're like, we can help you out. And he's like, no.
Save yourselves.
And then they're like, oh, shit, too late. We're losing power.
Yeah, losing power fast. Like, the whole ship will be derelict in 4 hours,
yeah.
I believe. And they still take the time for, like, a briefing room meeting, staff meeting. It's like, can you just do that on the bridge? You're in an emergency. Every minute counts. So there's another ship that comes. It looks like a blob with a gigantic pustule on it, like a third of the ship is a pustule.
Yes, you need to lance that boil.
And we'll get there. So they are like a lower tech ship. It's that pustule is full of liquid fuel. It's all chemical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all these ships sort of glommed on together. So they're somewhat immune from the chemical leaching because they can do the chemical reaction or from the electrical leaching.
And they're basically like, Yeah, okay, welcome on board. You suck, so you're gonna need to play by our rules. And Janeway's like, no thanks, we're
Yeah,
good.
like thanks for the invite, but not if it means stealing from other ship.
Yeah.
And they've already gotten the professor on board and taken his ship in
Yep.
and sort of added it to the conglomeration.
Mm-hmm.
And this pirate captain is
A Gorn?
very Gorn looking,
Yeah.
like a little bit more spikes. There's some piercings. There's like a whole cheek piercing thing
Yeah.
happening. But I do appreciate the little translator thing that's pinned to her upper collar.
Okay.
That part's fun. And they've got some Kazon in the background. There's all these aliens that they've sort of picked up that sort of get. Oh, there's a specific word for it.
Marooned?
No, when you're like forcibly drafted to be a part of the pirate ship.
Oh, conscripted.
Yes. Oh no, there's a racist term for it too that we don't need to get into.
Yes.
So they're like, well, if you're not going to join us willingly, you'll join us forcibly. So they fire all these rockets. Shields go up. Janeway raises them. But there's a big spark, and all of a sudden, B'Elanna's like, we are losing way too much power from the shields. We're going to be dead in minutes.
You were looking for impressment.
I was not.
Oh.
I mean, that's not the racist one.
No.
And so, in order to cut access the power to the shields, she and Harry have to actively separate a power conduit, which, shocker, explodes. I don't understand why on Starfleet ships they talk about having backups upon backups upon backups, and yet consoles are always exploding. Always.
Yes.
Just like those lodestones in above the bridge that like help with something. Like Lower Decks made those rocks that are just kept in the ceiling of the bridge. They made them make sense in some way, but it's still. So shields fall. Forger will have power at least, but now all these little mini ships are attacking. They're boarding. One looks like it has fins, like it's a little baby dragon
Oh.
with a big, I don't, dorsal fin.
So what they seem to have started on the lower decks, like they beamed over, they're working their way up to the bridge.
Yeah, I don't quite get the numbering system
No.
because they are literally all over the top of the ship.
Yeah.
But later on, they're like, they control everything downward of deck eight. And Janeway's very much a crew prepared to repel boarders,
Oh, by the way,
grab manual weapons.
you skipped over our first letters page of this entire series. It is in such large font.
It
They
is.
were like, we really don't want to deal with fucking letters in this series.
Yeah.
Like, and then in the next two issues, we're discussing no letters pages.
I just blew right past them. But I mean there's complimentary art because it actually is really cool. Like these little ships that are attacking look all very different from each other, so it makes sense that this derelict zone just keeps collecting people
Yeah.
and they have to do weird adjustments to deal with chemical fuel. But they like the details on this ship are great. Like this Kazon who's like in the foreground, but very shadowed and underlit, like from a console, looks really good. Everything is amazing. The doctor is very fuzzy because there's not enough power to stabilize his holographic
Yep.
matrix. And so Kes is doing what she can, but the invaders aren't really leaving a lot of room for folks. There is a Lieutenant Rand. He
Yeah.
outranks Harry, but he's not invited to senior staff
No, he's
meetings.
not.
And we find out later he's actually related to Yeoman Rand slash Commander Rand
Yeah.
from TOS and the Excelsior.
Yep. We'll get to that, I think, in my issue, the
Yes.
next one.
So battle's raging. B'Elanna and Harry get sent to sick bay. Kes is like, I don't know how to help them. I need the doctor. So Neelix and B'Elanna are trying to
Take a
steal.
bunch of power packs from phasers and
Yep, jury-rig them together to stabilize his matrix. And like the geometric shapey things to show that he's barely there, barely coherent. It's working really well. But there are all these aliens invading, and all of a sudden, like, one of them from the back just gets kicked in the back. And it's B'Elanna kicking butt, and apparently she had Neelix tie her bat'leth to her hands. How did she have time to go grab a bat'leth from her quarters? I don't know. But she is taking out all the Reavers. They are, yeah, there's a shack, there's a wick, there's a clang, and a wonch, like, boot to the face.
Yeah.
So on the underside of the ship, Tuvok is just hanging out with the torpedo. He's got an idea. He is going to detonate the torpedo. Somehow, like, Jerry Rigato doesn't need
power yeah.
in the same way that the ship does. And he's going to pop that pustule. Apparently, everyone from that pustule ship is on board Voyager. They were like,
they sort of brush it off. They're like, well, one or two might not be, but most of them are here.
Yeah. And they ride the shockwave from that explosion out of the null zone. Weird. I mean, it is a cool kachoom with a Voyager in the outer
ring
wave of the explosion. And it works. They're out. They're back in normal space. Power levels are rising. Again, great art. Like, no wonder they had to have guest penciler and guest inker.
Yeah.
Because all the detail on these would take forever to do. So they're all very happy. Ensign Kim is back at his post, and the doctor is like, you should not be there. Get back in sick bay. And Janeway's like, har har, you heard him, Mr. Kim. Back to sick bay before I fire you into the null zone. Huckle, huckle.
Yes.
But they got the professor back to his planet. Oh,
how'd they get the professor back?
Because everyone from the...
Even people they were, like, capturing, they're like, let's beam them over.
Let's carry you over in this little right? ship to board. I don't know. Maybe he...
Maybe he has also blown clear?
He wasn't. They took his ship in, no. They said. But somehow, they stuck him on a ship and, like, fought for us. So maybe he just hung back and, like, oh no, I twisted my ankle. That is my headcanon for that alien professor to not be such a dick.
Issue 10 is entitled Ghosts, and we're thrown straight in. Okay, this is also 2 weeks after that issue. It says that somewhere in here.
Oh,
it is now 2 weeks later, and Voyager continues its journey home.
Gotcha. In the in-book events, it's 2 weeks later.
Yes.
The way you said it, you made it sound like the book had come out 2 weeks
later. No, this just the next month. All right, so Voyager is in the middle of Wolf 359, the famous battle from Best of Both Worlds on Star Trek The Next Generation. It's the Borg.
It is the Borg. It's, again, our detail in these books. Amazing. This Borg cube. Amazing. There's all sorts of ships. There's an Akira-class ship. There's those silly little Miranda ships. And actually a Soyuz, because it doesn't have the little... whatchamacallit on top of that little bar that Miranda's have. And
we have Klingon ships.
And Klingon ships. I don't remember that from TNG, that Klingons were involved in the Battle of Wolf 359.
No.
But there's clearly D7s.
Yeah. So they're like, what the fuck's happening? And they're like, timey-wimey shit.
Chronoton buildup, yes. Gravimetric particle buildup. Voyager is sort of stuck.
And then it sort of pops out. And there are some escape pods.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, let's get those escape pods on board. It's like five of them.
Yeah, sort of all daisy chained together.
Yeah. And they're from the Roosevelt and the Melbourne and the Saratoga. So you have different people who jettisoned from their ships. We know the Saratoga was destroyed because of Deep Space Nine. That was Ben Sisko's ship.
Yes.
So they bring them on board, and they're like, we don't know what's inside these. It could be Borg.
Tuvok is rightly pointing out, like, Wolf 359 was 6 years ago, like 70,000 light years from here.
Yeah.
How is this possible?
Yeah.
Like, we should be extra cautious. So Janeway was even going to beam the people directly into sick bay.
And she's like, you're right. We should probably just, like, use tractors, get them on in.
Yeah, which is fair, because we just saw the DS9 episode where... Sisko, Dax, and Bashir are beamed back into the Bell riots,
yeah,
which happened in 2024 apparently. Whoa. And those sanctuary cities, which I guess this current administration is on track to create for us.
Yep.
So yeah, that was due to a buildup of chroniton particles. So Tuvok is rightfully being like, hey.
So they pop these open. Good news. It is a bunch of Starfleet officers.
16 of them.
Yeah. And one of them is a Commander Athena Rand.
So Lieutenant Josh Rand is like,
Auntie Athena.
Yes.
And
do you think she's like Auntie Mame?
No.
I don't think so either, but it would be fun if it was.
So they all get quarters assigned to them, but first they go to sick bay. They gotta get checked out.
Even you know how in all these Star Trek episodes where the ship has taken some sort of massive damage and people's uniforms are crispy, they do a really good job of showing that, like the weird little crenellations of burnt fabric.
So we find out that these people have been in the escape pods for 2 months.
Yeah.
So that's setting the stage. Like, they've been together, hooked together for 2 months of their time.
Because they recognize that they're in some sort of rift.
Yes.
Like, gravitational something wonky from all the weapons fire, and the fact that it's a cube.
Yes.
Which is one of the most powerful ships in the quadrant.
So the word travels fast in Voyager.
So like, we have survivors from Wolf 359.
So we have B'Elanna rushing down. She's like, I have a friend that was there. And some other guy, Barston, is like, oh, my Melina. Twin sister. And they rush and go to sickbay. B'Elanna finds her friend. Sorry, Barston, your sister's probably dead.
Yeah.
On the bridge, they discuss, oh, Athena Rand, and Tuvok's like, I served with her, whatever, grandma or something. We don't know. It doesn't go that far, but he's like,
I don't know how many generations it is, but like, it's a prestigious Starfleet family.
Yes. So
I guess just like the Barstons, just like the Parises.
Yes. And Paris doesn't want to hear it.
It's true. And he has daddy issues.
Barston is like, I promise I'll find you, Selena. That's really the last we hear of him. Like, his quest is pretty much over.
It is cool, though, that they take this sort of pivotal event in Star Trek canon of Wolf 359. Like, 11,000 people died. Those 30-some ships?
Yeah, and they find a way to pivot into Voyager with it.
That, and they bring up the idea that that's a lot of people in Starfleet, and so people on Voyager would have known someone.
Yeah. Even Janeway says that she knew people.
Yeah. Chakotay knew someone who died in Wolf 359. Like, it's a good way to make it more real and make it more of just, or more than just, this thing that happens and there's no real consequence from it.
Yeah. Asta has joined us. Hopefully she won't go on the keyboard. She's mountaineering right now.
Next to the power cord is going to be great.
It's okay. She got bored.
Or she might have been slipping.
Oh.
And so she's just like, I'm just going to jump down before I fall down.
Smart. She's a very smart bunny. All right, so now the crews are mingling, and Voyager's crew is sort of coming around to the idea, maybe we have 16 new staff members.
Which would be great.
Or crew members.
Because they...
they've been losing people. There, you know, there was a murderer on board.
True, and I think in the last issue, even with all those borders, Jenny makes a note of saying, like, thankfully there were no casualties, no injuries.
Yeah.
But we know from the Hirogen... we know from that one character who came back from the dead as an alien.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people are dying.
Yep.
And even though they got three people off the Equinox.
Yeah. It's not balancing out.
Yeah. And we never see those people ever again.
No. There is a woman with a strong blue lip.
Yes. There's someone with like coral colored hair. There's a Klingon talking about how he saw the gates of Stovokor.
Yes. So what? They're getting to work because they know we took you out of a rift. We need to make sure you don't go back into a rift.
And so there are chronoton particles that have been sort of saturating these people. And now there's a quantum link between the people and the rift. And if the rift comes back, then all these 16 people are going to be sucked back into the rift.
So the rift throbs and they all feel it. All
Yes.
the survivors, they're like, ooh, oh no.
It's a great panel. It's a Vulcan talking to Tuvok, and she's holding it together, but she is sort of.
She's like, I've seen some shit, man.
Yeah, she's the vessel for explaining, like, there's so much trauma from this battle
And Tuvok's like, I understand.
that, yeah, she felt entire ships perish.
Yeah. So this sort of lights a fire under them. They need to solve this right now.
So there's an anode, anodyne, some sort of treatment to purge the chronoton particles out of these people.
And it,
But that's not enough. They have
yeah.
to undo the quantum entanglement situation.
Yep.
So B'Elanna thinks she has a thing. She like time is ticking down super fast. And the Athena Rand tries it out.
It doesn't really
It
work.
doesn't work. The cube is back.
Yeah, like Wolf 359 starts playing out again in front of them, and they're like, it's okay, we'll just warp away from it.
And
And
it follows
yeah,
them.
and they're like, nope, it's just gonna keep following us.
So Commander Rand, in like a great moment of leadership, is like, "We're gonna get off your ship. You need to get home. I reckon we won't stop trying to figure it out, but we know n more now than we did before."
Yeah.
So
They all quickly pile in
there's
and.
not very much resistance. Like they all seem to acknowledge the inevitability of this thing is gonna keep going. There's no safe place. Like we have
Yeah.
to protect Voyager and these people from experiencing the horrors that we are experiencing.
And then an escape pod launches. It's Lieutenant Rand. And he's like, I'm bringing all B'Elanna's research to them so they can continue working on it.
And
Even
then
though it
he's.
mentioned before, like, we're sending you with B'Elanna's stuff so you can keep working on it.
Yes, that's a bit of a plot hole. It creates a dramatic moment, but it's a plot hole.
So he launches out. They all collectively disappear, like the five escape pods and Voyager's escape pod, which is definitely drawn as a shuttle.
It is absolutely drawn as a shuttle.
And they're gone. And then some ship shows up in front of them and it's Red Alert.
Yes.
I have so many thoughts about this issue because it could have been a whole arc.
It's true.
This, I mean,
It's very on brand for Voyager to stick in an episode or two what could have been a whole
we
season.
have Laurie Sutton back. I love her writing for this book. And
Plot holes aside.
it's such a tan, like if you gave it two or three issues, there wouldn't be that plot hole.
Right. They'd be able to explain it away more,
Yeah.
develop folks more, and.
And like show them, I would have loved to see the survivors integrate more and like get more into a groove. Like, I'm an engineer, I'm in engineering, I'm actively in the rotation for Voyager. Oh shit, what does it mean when we just lost our 16 new crew members?
Oh, yeah. And some of them adjusting to. A, not having that trauma of Wolf 359 play out in front of them, but also learn what's all been happening for the past 6 years and how that affects them. Like they have to go through technical manuals to be an engineer on Voyager because the gel packs and the nacelles that move didn't exist when they were lost at Wolf
It's
359.
true. It would have been really cool to see this just drawn out more because it is really interesting. Like in the command structure, where does Commander Rand fit?
Right, and she's wearing blue. So is she a doctor? Is she just general science? Is she stellar cartography?
No.
It'd be fun if eventually like her contributions were a part of astrometrics with Seven. Like that'd be a nice like whozamacallit memorial, testament to her ability to like to have some sort of like this is the Athena Rand Memorial LCARS console in astrometrics.
And so I was really excited in issue 9 where they reference Lieutenant Rand. And then we get Lieutenant Rand and Athena Rand. And then out of the book,
I
it's like,
know.
really? You're going to give us a named character that is actually doing something that's not shitty.
Right?
And then disappearing him.
It's a very disco thing to do. We'll tell you about this character just in time to kill them off.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, I wanted to know more. Like, maybe if IDW ever needs a writer to plot out some Voyager books, give me a call, IDW, because I'm willing, but only for this plot point. I want to bring these survivors back somewhere else.
Okay, yeah, find another ship that runs into the same anomaly, and then these 16 people can be like, hey, we're doing it.
And they're actually stranded in the Delta Quadrant.
Or they get rescued by another ship. Oh. Like, it'd be great if there's a happy ending for these people.
Yeah.
They've been through a lot.
Do they pop out in the Gamma Quadrant?
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Like, who, I mean, from an anomaly that started in the Alpha Quadrant that just magically pops up in the Delta Quadrant, why can't it show up anywhere else? Like, do some sort of exploratory mission out of the wormhole.
Yeah.
Like, do a far-flung thing after peace with the Dominion, and all of a sudden, this anomaly shows up. It gives you more opportunity to really showcase what Wolf 359 meant to people in Starfleet, the ones who survived. Or, like, have another survivor from one of those ships be on that crew that rescues these 16 people.
Yeah.
Anything. Like, that would be...
What if Jennifer's on it? Jennifer Sisko?
Her corpse?
How do we know she died? Did they see her die?
Yes.
Oh.
In all the flashbacks.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
But lots of potential and, like, good storytelling fodder.
So I think this is... Well, maybe not. After this issue, there are four. But they may have known by this point, like, we're ending Voyager.
And
it's hard because there's no letters page, so you don't see anything from anyone.
Right. And this is 97.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to know when how these relate to the show. I guess we could just do the research of dates and things.
Yeah.
But issue 9 was very much that episode of Voyager with the space, and then Janeway creates this little flotilla of ships that help each other rather than the predatory bandits. Like, it's this comic put in TV episode form. Issue 10 is very much yesterday's Enterprise. So it's like they're sort of recycling some plot lines or adapting them from TNG to Janeway or to Voyager. That sounds like it could be an interesting thing.
Yeah. So issue 9, it was cover dated September 97. It came out in July of 97.
Oh, between seasons.
Yes. So we are like July, August, September.
Oh, back when Star Trek seasons had more than 10 episodes.
Yeah.
What a luxury that was. We didn't even know it at the time. Because that's normal.
Yeah, it is. So if I'm Googling, I think we're going into the third season.
Okay. I don't even know the name of that episode with the Dead Space. But it was well after the Kazon. 7 of 9 was around, I want to
say. We're going into season 4, actually. So 7 of 9 is a thing. Yeah.
That was the end of season 3, beginning of season 4?
Yes.
Okay.
Scorpion is the episode, two-parter.
Yeah, that's right. I don't ever know why it's called Scorpion. I do know why it's called Scorpion.
Is it the river?
It's the metaphor.
Yeah.
Like, Borgs are going to Borg.
Yes. So we're headed into season 4. So we're halfway through Voyager.
Okay. Yeah. But so I guess it went the other way around. They turned a comic into a whole episode.
Yeah.
That's cool. So we have one more. It is Forget the Borg, Enter Leviathan.
And this is a crash straight from the end of issue 10. Into issue 11.
Yeah, they even do a recap of the previous issue on the first page or so. And I gotta say, the Elkars in this issue are actually readable. Mm. I had to squint as if I was 80 years old.
You had to turn on a lamp in daylight.
Well, that was also because the light was not at the right angle.
Nope.
But still. Elkars in issue 9, very hard to read. But here we got Leviathan part 1. And the ships that just show up are not Leviathan. They're these purple, sort of jelly-ish looking things. They start firing on Voyager with a Woom and a Fazark. And we get Laurie Sutton back on writing, Jesus Redondo, penciler, Sergio Melio back on inks, Chris Eliopoulos and virtual calligraphy letterers. Colorist is Matt Webb. Chip Carter is ringmaster, Tim Tui editor, and Bob Harris editor in chief. So I also just like the space swirlies in the background of the art. Like, it's a good way that these artists make space interesting when there's no planet nearby. So we get this woman in a gigantic headdress. She's blue. She's crabby. She's like, we were responding to a distress call from one of our ships. We detected a space battle and feared for our ship. We have engaged the Borg before, but now we only see your vessel, so we assume you were assimilated by the Borg.
And
James is like, not
no,
us.
no, nope.
But let me tell you about it. And this alien is like, oh, well, sorry we fired on you. Let's go rescue our ship together. And she says something really nice, like, the Elysian Empire welcomes you. It'll be a pleasure to fly with a new friend. Follow us. Like, that's
It
nice.
is.
It's not common, I feel, for
Where you meet
Voyagers,
like
like,
friendly people.
yeah. I guess there are a few. There's that great episode where, like, there's that ridiculous tennis racket and all the plants that get gifted and shoved into Janeway's ready room.
No,
That's a good time. So they go, and there's this gigantic amalgamation of ships and people, and it's like Leviathan from the Bible. And you can see one of these purple ships being sort of roped in. They have these blue tendrils around the ship, sort of assimilating it, but not quite, but also sort of assimilating it. So,
Remarkably similar.
yes. And we get a lot of exposition in Elkar's panels. So supplemental, I've ordered Voyager to stand at 40 kilometers where the Elysians, while the Elysians make their rescue effort, which has proven a wise precaution. They have been caught up in a coalescent magneton beam and dragged down to the surface of the Leviathan. Despite my cautions, Idana has opted for a somewhat more violent method of freeing her trapped task force. And I'm not surprised when this modern-day Leviathan answers in kind. This leaves only Voyager as their hope of escape. I hope a more diplomatic approach will work. And it doesn't. Like, they try to tractor, and then they get trapped in their own red magneton tendrils. So, which is different than the green ones that are just trying to, like, mold Voyager into this Leviathan. And for the second issue in a row, Janeway's like, let's do this. And Tuvok's like,
How about not?
how about not? And at least this time he has the grace to say, like, I'm not questioning your decision to beam over. I just meant, like, you can't go directly to the command core. You have to go a few kilometers out. Like, this thing is massive. If it's a few kilometers away from the command core.
So it basically they're in an environment and they're like, wow, it's like the Garden of Eden. And Tom Paris is like, B'Elanna want to play Adam and Eve? And she's like, no.
Absolutely not. And he's like, ooh, she's sensitive. Not the best
No.
moment for men. But all of a sudden, these Jem'Hadar in loincloths show up unexpected.
Yeah.
They are not addicted to Ketracel White. There's no tubes. It's just like them and spears and their loincloths. So they fight. One of them just so happens to rip off Tom's uniform. Like,
Yes.
so he's just running around shirtless.
They make Tom Paris into some sort of sex symbol in this issue. And I just want to say that Robert Duncan McNeil is not built like that. He's not built to be shirtless in the like hunky sense.
Like, not in a Kazar sense.
Yes.
I mean,
I mean, the actor in the show.
could be. Like, we never see him shirtless.
Yes, I think that there's a reason.
We see him
He's
in
just a normal
leisure
guy.
wear.
He's a normal guy. He's not, look at my pecs,
Oh.
which is what this art is sort of trying to emphasize.
Oh, you mean this panel in particular?
Yes.
So they go, they find a bulkhead, they go through a door, And B'Elanna's like, come on, Tom, put some muscle in it. And I like that later on when they're trying to go through a different door. He's like, come on, B'Elanna, put some muscle in it. So then they end up in a desert. And then there's these other aliens and a big sand monster that comes around. And so they sort of all phaser the thing. It gets stabby stabbed by the people. And it's a Vidian. It's a
Yeah.
Vidian group of
And
people.
they're like, they don't have the phage,
Yeah.
which the phage has only been around for like 200 years, I think.
Yeah. So eventually they figure out that this ship is old, like
Yeah.
old, old. So they found the like proto Jem'Hadar
And the proto-Vidians.
and the proto Vidian, or not necessarily proto, but
Yeah.
like I say proto Jem'Hadar because the founders did things to them.
Oh.
It's just like Wayun was like, my species used to live in trees and eat nuts, and now I don't have taste buds. And so the ship sort of, we learn,
There's different environments where it's like
it's like a
here.
big zoo. It's like a collector.
Yeah.
It's like the slightly problematic episode where the dude tries to collect data.
Oh, yeah.
And they get sort of sucked up by these little UFO things and tendrils. They get to the command center. And these geometric shapes are like, hello, response qu to query initiated. I am this craft. I am AI.
Oh.
Womp womp. And so it's saying that your habitat is incomplete. It's dangerous for you to wander among the others. You must return to your ship. And Jenny's like, we don't want a habitat. We want to go home. And the ship is saying, release is impossible. Your ship and crew are a permanent part of my collection. That's it.
To be
To be
continued.
continued.
So three pretty different stories
Yeah.
across these three issues.
I still think the Borg episode has the most storytelling potential. I did enjoy the Null Space one.
Yeah.
It's very misleading because B'Elanna's fighting on a Bat'leth on the cover, and it's
Yeah.
like one page of
Yeah.
her on the inside. But it also makes sense. Like it's either that or like that's more compelling, I think, for young readers than like a derelict spaceship in space.
Yeah.
Like that would be harder to convey on a cover. But yeah, it's another sort
Yep.
of like, is this just a TNG episode packaged up as Voyager,
Yeah.
but it is cool that it brought in different species from different quadrants to
Yes.
sort of show like we've been doing this for forever
Yeah.
and creating these habitats for people. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy to see Laurie Sutton back.
Yes. I think she has strong issues.
Yes.
And like some parts of it, like, sure, she may not have been able to have much control over the art of that it's a shuttle, not an escape pod that we lose Josh
Right.
Gad in.
And she closes out this series.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she started strong, like as in the first few issues.
Yep. Then she is gone for like seven.
Yeah.
But she's here for the remainder of all of the Voyager issues, this and Splashdown that
And
we'll be reading.
gotta say, like the art, so good, so
Yeah.
detailed. Even the cube on the cover of issue 10, not only is there an obscene amount of piping, as is required for a Borg cube,
Yeah.
but there's like yellow pipes and red pipes, and like it's not just a gray block. Like it's enough to make it visually interesting. And the big splash pages of space, when it's not an explosion, or like the ship is just hanging out, there's so much detail on the ship. There's
Yeah.
always something else in space to make it look cool, to remind you of like, yeah, space exploration's pretty awesome. Like it's worth it to deal with all these risks and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought they were good issues. I
Yeah.
can see why people would be so frustrated of like, why are they always late? Why is this
Yeah.
ending?
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential.
So much potential. So, I think, let me look. It's one more, two more regular, because that we just did 11.
Yeah. So we've got 12 13, 14? Does it end on 14?
We have 12 mysteriously missing from the stack. Oh, 13 is telepathy warp.
Oh, gotcha.
So we have 12, 14, 15 next time.
Okay. Again, how is there a telepathy war tie-in in on the opposite side of the galaxy?
Yeah, or back in time.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us this time. We hope that you enjoyed the Delta Quadrant with us.
Yeah, thanks for exploring Star Trek with us. Yeah. We're going to keep doing it.
Yep, and we will talk to you next time.
Be well.
Bye.